Welcome, everybody, to the New York Jets Couch Scouts podcast. Another mundane week here for the show. This is your host, Peter Antonelli, here with my co-host this week, producer Giovanni Garcia.
How we doing, Jet fans?
Normal co-host Justin Schwendeman was a little busy this week, so we had our producer step in. Be none the different. Ain't none the different going on with the Jets either. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to feel. Numb. I am honestly just numb to this team, as I said last week.
Can I sound stupid for a minute?
Sure, we do every week.
I'm excited right now. I am very, very excited for what the future might hold for this team. When you look at this coaching staff right now and the GM right now, and I think that we really are in a much better position than we think we are as Jets fans.
Because of the expectation level that we put on the season and us here at the Couch Scouts specifically, I had a miracle another 10-6 beating Rex to go to the playoffs this year. Realistically, we were a 9-7 football team, but I was hoping to get that one extra. A lot of people like yourself, though, feel we were a 7-9 football team, an 8-8 football team at best. Am I correct?
Yeah, I did say that. And honestly, I think that we're a 6-10 football team right now, the way that we're just not showing up. But
we're going to win 5 more games?
I believe that we can.
And I know what you're saying, but come on. What have you seen that tells you that we're a 6-10 football team right now? And that's the scariest thing to say for 2016.
I see people that are trying to earn their spot for next year. I see people that are trying to step up and be that guy. Like, Geno's trying to get paid. There's
you're
a bunch
obviously
other guys that are
talking
trying to get paid.
Quincy. You're talking Sheldon.
I am.
But I'd like a couple more names if that's the case.
I don't think we need to.
Because I don't know who. Okay, hey, fair enough. But you're just saying that you see people trying to earn their spot for next year?
Absolutely.
I see people thinking about booking vacations for this year.
Yeah, I see those too. Those are called the people that already got paid. Like Fitzpatrick, like Muhammad Wilkerson. Those are the guys that are already fishing.
Nah, please don't do that to me. Don't put Muhammad Wilkerson in there. Muhammad Wilkerson has never rubbed me as a got paid type of guy. I never looked at him with any fear of when he gets his contract, he's going to fall off and not work hard anymore. I'm just fearing that this situation could maybe possibly be a, what if Muhammad Wilkerson never broke his leg against Buffalo in 2015? Because I just don't recognize the ball player that I see out there wearing number 96 for the New York Jets. I'm sorry, I don't right now. And I'm hoping that, much like what I was trying to sell with Revis, that this is had to rehab an injury in the offseason and didn't have the type of work that he was accustomed to having, and it's hurting his overall production right now. But it's scary what you're seeing out of Muhammad Wilkerson and other guys along those lines that have names and have production levels that we had expectations on this year.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So to clarify, though, you're saying worst case scenario, he is...
Oh, my God, he never bounced back from the broken leg. Such a sad story on his career.
This is his cap. This is as good as he's ever going to be again.
No. I'm saying that's worst case scenario.
Right.
We can never have that argument. Best case, he turns back into beast mode Muhammad Wilkerson, and we got our all-pro defensive end back.
Best
case,
he just quit.
The guy that we gave 5 years, 86 mil, 53 and a half guaranteed. You know what I mean? That's what we need, because this team's getting in a position now, which I know you said we'll touch on the future, but are we going to lose Sheldon Richardson now? Because everybody thought Sheldon was the guy they wanted to pay, and that was why they weren't paying Mo. And we were all very pleasantly surprised. I don't want to hear one Jet fan say anything about that contract, because we were all jubilant when we heard that news.
The one thing that was said, though, that was at the point where we're talking about what do you have to do with Maccagnan to get paid? So what they were saying
is
that's
in the cave argument with Fitz and with Darren Lee, with
you just
the rookie
hold out.
Deal.
And, you hold out and you get what you want.
And I know how you felt about that.
But going back to Sheldon then, do you think that this is why we are putting Sheldon in the positions that we're putting him in, to kind of evaluate him and see if he's worth what we think he deserves as fans, but maybe, you know, the front office and the coaching staff isn't trying to go in that direction if the price isn't perfect?
Absolutely, 100%, unequivocally, no. What we're doing with Sheldon Richardson right now is out of necessity to get our best 11, and in reality, if you want to talk up front, our best 5 or 6 on the field. That's what we're doing right now. He is miscast in this defense. The man is a 3-technique, a 3-4 defensive end that brings something else that others don't to the table. And we are nullifying. You can see it out there when he's chasing down tight ends, receivers, running backs 15 yards down the field.
Making tackles in the secondary.
Imagine that quickness on a sloppy offensive guard. But we can't get that right now. And we can't get it because it's an embarrassment of riches. And it's something we should be proud about. But we got 3-4 defensive tackles on this team that got to play. It's hard structurally to get your defense in a level. And I don't even know the word I'm looking for here. Just having it balanced, that's a good way possibly to put it. We need some speed off the edge. We need what we thought Lorenzo Malden was going to be this year. And I'm not willing to right the ship on that. But this is an odd case in and of itself as well. You ask your speed rusher, the guy who you went out and took a Jordan Jenkins, who, as we said in previous podcasts, is a Lorenzo Malden, does what Lorenzo Malden does and should have the same mindset, fans expectation wise, of production. And we took a guy that we then turned into a speed rush position that already had him doing a little something he maybe shouldn't have been doing. And we asked him to put weight on. So we don't have that pressing factor coming off the edge that allows our big boys to eat in the middle. All that being said, we should still be generating more pressure and more in the face right up the middle on a quarterback than we are right now. And we're not. But the guy we have that's best suited to do that this week, due to David Harris, I won't be blind on that, is playing inside linebacker in a 3-4 hybrid scheme, is playing stand-up outside linebacker. We're running a 4-3 to try to get these guys on the field, and then you see him 7 yards off the ball chasing down a tight end. It's not what he's built to do. We're not getting what we could be getting out of our personnel, and that's why we're 1-5. Luckily, Sheldon's talented enough to not look too out of place there, but it's just, I don't know. You know, running circles again, baby. That's what we're doing.
We have the game on here, Monday night's game on in the background. And as you were saying that,
as we say, misery loves torture. We literally are putting our arm out for paper cuts as we're trying to focus and talk. That's what's happening.
I was going
to
say that Sheldon had just jumped off sides there on that play. But
you want to talk about jumping off sides on Monday? Your quarterback? And back to back? And your quarterback, the man who is yelling the cadence, jumps offside? Quincy, both on that play, and I don't know, for those of you who aren't tuning into SNY for Jets postgame, Ray Lucas, the realest dude on TV, Mikey Westhoff, who should have been given an opportunity to coach a football team, more specifically this football team, as a head coach in the NFL. These guys have some of the best TV on, and if you're a Jet fan, you're missing out. But one thing I noticed in them doing their little intro, and you watch the players come off the field, Quincy is still, I don't want to say attitude, he's still talking about the game, worked up, I mean, arms swinging, and in Fitz's ear. Fitz didn't want nothing to do with it. I'm pretty sure he saw the writing on the wall. But that's the type of emotion, and the type of emotion we get out of a Sheldon who we just talked about for minutes.
Yeah.
That's what we need more of on this team. Those are the guys that care.
Yeah, and those are the guys that I feel will get us to 6 wins.
And that's what you were saying earlier when you said guys playing for next year and
absolutely
playing to become the core of this team type
because
of thing.
We're not seeing that from Muhammad Wilkerson. We're not seeing that from Ryan Fitzpatrick. We're not seeing it from guys
Fitz,
who are
Fitz
there
ain't going to be here, and we all kind of felt Fitz wasn't going to be here. But yeah. Mo, we need to see that from Mo's supposed right to be here. I mean, you're talking on this 5-year deal, you're talking 53 guaranteed in reality. We got to get through 3 years with him. We're going to need another 2 seasons of an all-pro defensive end.
Absolutely. But I'm saying, you wanted to say, like, you don't want to believe that the best case scenario is what you don't want to believe. But the worst case scenario is the absolute worst case scenario. It's zombies on fire. You know, like, what you want is to think that maybe he quit, which is exactly what's happening. This team is
quit
already.
Which is the got paid attitude that I was alluding to.
And you
I can't
that
buy that with Mo. I don't see it
based
with
Mo. On what? Based on what you've seen as far as his character?
Based
or
on Mo showing up making $5.97 million when he should have got this contract 2 years ago. Showing up on day one, being there for everything and being there for his teammates. Based on Mo balling out that year and balling out last year for us on a one-year option year, fifth-year rookie deal that he should have also been taken care of, and that should have been ripped up as well. But where your argument can go there, he wanted his money.
And that's why he quit.
And
why
you're sitting there smiling. That's why I stole it from you. But he wanted his money. Of course he's going to do all that.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know Muhammad Wilkerson. I don't have the privilege of knowing or being in his head and knowing what surrounds him and where his motivation is. I'm willing to say, though, Mo ain't that guy, and I'll hang my hat on that.
I'm cool with that, and I'm not trying to say that quitting is it makes you a bad guy. He's not a bad guy. Maybe he's a smart guy. Yo, why am I going to give 110% and possibly re-injure myself for a team that obviously isn't going anywhere?
Because it takes one play. It takes one play.
To do what?
To swing emotion in a football game, the all-important mojo, whatever. It takes one play. And our defense is the area in which we were going to get that this year. And we've yet to get it.
I think that we got a lot of that weeks one and two.
You're talking the fourth and one. I'm wrong. I shouldn't say we get
weeks
to get
one
it.
And two when we had something going on. Week three, we even saw a lot of fighting them up front, especially like, they didn't get to the quarterback a lot.
I will.
A lot of people don't want to compare Alex Smith to Tyrod Taylor, but he's a very mobile guy who can manage the game and put the ball where it needs to be and get to himself to where he needs to be. So he can outrun some defenses. We did a good job of containing him and limiting what he could do. Our offense is not providing anything. And seeing that for the first three games, the first four games, now you're talking about the game against Seattle, Pittsburgh. That was around the time where that article came out saying that Muhammad Wilkerson has officially quit on this team and that some people were not taking that.
Even give that the time of day because we all know who wrote that. I love the onslaught that is now coming at him. I have no issue with it. The guy's a joke. The guy's an amateur. And it's an embarrassment that the Jets have let it go on this long. Place a call to the newspaper that this gentleman works for. I won't even give him the privilege of saying his name and have those credentials stripped. Send somebody else or you're not welcome here is what the response should be. And I feel like that's resounding from a majority of the Jets fan base right now.
I agree with a lot of that, but aren't we right now asking the question?
No,
I am.
To me, that was clickbait.
That
was a poke to get people riled up.
It's tweeting under the influence is what I'm going to chalk it up to. But I do feel like I am saying it, and I will ask the question again, is it that he's quitting, which is what we hope is the best case scenario? But does that make him a bad guy? I don't think it does. I don't think it does.
This is a team sport, bro.
That, but we are 1-5.
I know, but
16 game
this
sport.
Is when your leaders need to step up and salvage to 7-9, 8-8. Because team with no leadership at the coaching position, this is a 3-13 season. So if this becomes a 3-13 season, there's other conversations that kind of have to be had and will be had, and it's so unfortunate, but you get used to it as a Jets fan and you get used to it with this market. Let's get to this elephant in the room. We can get back to whatever else you want to touch on. I've stalled long enough. Geno Smith is now the starting quarterback of the New York Football Jets. You know how I feel. I'm going to get behind him. And I'm only going to get behind him because he's going to be taking snaps from Nick Mangold in a New York Jets helmet and uniform.
Yep.
And he's going to be fighting for us to get a win now. And as a Jet fan, you have to have that mindset. As Fitz said, you don't have to like it. But you have to have that mindset. So I'll get behind him. I'm a root for the kid, but I'm pretty sure I know what's coming. This is something you and our co-host, Justin Schwendeman, kind of were hoping for. Be careful what you ask for, my friends.
Listen, man, I think it's going to be fantastic. I am really looking forward.
No, you use fantastic the way you mean it, though. You think this is going to be a hell of a fun ride right now.
I think it's going to be fantastic. I believe that getting to Geno as quickly as possible gets us to Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg much faster. I think that the worst thing to come out of signing Ryan Fitzpatrick is that we lost this opportunity to already be considering kids. We did. Because you're taking snaps away from these guys. You're taking reps away from these guys. You know what I mean? Like a lot of these
guys. Yeah, there's only so much to go around. That's why, just to get a little sidebar here, I was a little excited and tried not to overreact, but Hackenberg went out there with the ones this week on Monday night. And I said, is this a little something maybe he was told to do, or is he going out of his way to do it on his own? But Hack's out there throwing a Quincy, throwing a Marshall. So it was nice to see. I liked hearing it. I'm grasping at straws for positives
now,
so I liked hearing it.
It's good. And this is all part of the whole village raises a boy mentality. You know what I mean? Like, we have not been known to take a young quarterback and turn him into something phenomenal. Now we have two on the cooker right now that I believe can be the future of this organization. I believe that at some point we are going to have
You're that high on Bryce
make.
Petty?
I am that high on Bryce Petty.
Because I will
Petty.
Agree with you. You know that. I'm the one that I feel has kind of really schooled you a little bit on how long it would take for him, but the potential that the kid does have.
Bro, the fire that he has.
Yeah, and I love it. He's built for this type of market, and he handles it well.
He's very mobile.
You see
mobile.
Him with the videos and all. He's got the good personality for what this job would entail if he could put a stranglehold on it.
He's a good player for the New York media market. I completely agree with that, but I also think that he's a natural-born leader. He might not have the experience under his belt, but I think he knows what it takes to get the job done and to rally guys behind a single goal. Like, what he did at Baylor can be, like, overlooked because he was following the Robert Griffin era. But at the same time, the kid balled out. The kid made throws. He hit his guys.
Let me ask
where
you something, and you can keep going with this whole argument because it's where I'm going to take you. You have your druthers. Both of them can work out. Who's your choice at future quarterback for the New York Jets, Hackenberg or Petty? Who would you prefer?
I don't know.
You can get best case scenario out of both. I'm letting you rub that genie lamp.
It's like, you got. I say you have to go with
Hackenberg.
For me,
Hackenberg, it's not close, yeah.
Because
for me, it's
he's
not
a
close.
Physical freak,
yep.
Man.
He is the prototype.
A physical freak. You're like, and I love Petty because Petty gets around. He's mobile. He can, you know, he's got moxie. He's
spunky,
got an arm.
Yeah, the moxie.
You know?
Yeah, okay.
I did, like, and I said it jokingly all the time, but I see this kid as an Aaron Rodgers type, you know?
I pray.
He's an Aaron Rodgers type. And you want to say that you pray, but at the same time, who do you want?
Hackenberg.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
So,
but I want that for what I just said. He's the prototype. I love 6'4", 6'5", 230. The guy has rocket laser arm. Remember the man in commercial? The guy's got a great arm. For me, a lot of people knock the mechanics, which obviously the Jets are working on and was his flaw. But for me, his head and what this kid came into the league already knowing, just common football knowledge and breaking down the game like a coach, what has been provided for him throughout his life and what Bill O'Brien schooled him on as a freshman in the Big Ten, for me, is invaluable. And I really think, again, I'm giving you that genie lamp, so that's what we're going off of here. But if Hack hits, man, you're going to like what you see. And if Petty hits, then so be it. I just want a quarterback. I'm rooting for both kids. I hope we don't have to waste another asset on the position this year.
No, me too, man. I'm so tired of that. And I really appreciate playing the long game, man. I don't care. I don't, you know, and I don't want to sound like that guy that's like tanked the season, but
no, that's
I'm
something
not,
you said pre-show though. Please share on that. You feel this is a positive in a longer leap than it is just a step of the 2016 season.
When you're looking at us chess versus checkers, man, we're in a really, really good spot. That's why when we opened up the show, I said, I'm excited, man. I'm excited to what the future has. Yeah, right now sucks. Guess what? Right now it sucked for the past 35 years. But we are acting like a millennial run generation of Jets fans who want the win right now. We see all of our friends carrying around Super Bowl trophies, and we see them all like happy about where their teams are, and we see our team being laughed at by Trey Wingo every week.
Yep. Listen, if you tell me it's a guarantee in 2 years, book it. I'll wait. Loro will be bigger. He'll know the names on the team. We'll be going to the stadium, and he'll be into it
by
then.
I don't want to see our kids being made fun of for wearing Jets gear like we were. You know what I mean?
It's a rough life.
That's it. But at the same time, I think that what we lack is the patience to go out there and grow something from the ground up and make it whole and make it complete.
Yes, but let me ask you something. Do we lack the patience, or does our ownership historically lack the patience? Does our scouting department historically lack the ability to identify talent early and late, both in the draft process and in free agency? Because we've been, since the beginning of free agency, I believe 93, we've been one of the more active teams, and we've been one of the more unsuccessful teams in that span of time.
Because we do it for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I was talking about before, when I was talking about some teams are football teams and some teams are money teams. We're not the Bears. We're not the Steelers. You know, we're not the Vikings
Packers.
And the Packers. We're the Jets.
We're going to pick up Brett Favre because we got to sell PSLs and open up a new stadium.
Yup, that's us.
Let's grow it. And I can't argue it.
And I'm really happy to be in the position that we are right now. Yes, this sucks. Yes, a potential 6-10 season does suck. I don't know why you were surprised by it. We're not a good team. We haven't been for a couple of years.
I almost feel like you're enjoying this, my man. That's what nauseates me with this situation even more. Because weekly, I got to come in here and be told by you how our general manager expected this, how our head coach expected this. Nobody expected this. And I got to be told on Tuesday that heads would have rolled. And this adds to you saying that this was the expectation. situation and wasn't just worst case scenario, because heads would have rolled if it wasn't. And it makes so much sense that I can't argue back, and it pisses me off. It really does.
I know where you're coming from about being that aggravated and being that pissed off about having to admit that this is what we are, and maybe that this is what we thought we were actually going to be. But how else can you explain any of the just the blunders?
Yeah, but how do you win? That's my point.
You
That's
win
what I
later.
Can't, no, stop. With this fan base, with everything, with my mentality, your mentality, having to just talk to people that we talk to. How did Maccagnan win? If Geno Smith's in this situation right now, it's Mac's fault because he clearly didn't capitalize on bringing back Fitz and what could have been. He brings back Fitz, we get historically bad quarterback play, and now it's Mac's fault because he didn't sign Brian Hoyer. If we'd have signed Brian Hoyer and started Geno Smith, then we're in this situation. Mac's getting laughed off the mat right now. How do you win? And you can tag it on the market. You can tag it on our mentality. You can tag it on whatever you want. Ownership, this, that. Just change the damn narrative for once. Please.
Where I'm angry at is that everybody, all the analysts that are surprised, are like, how is this coaching staff not coaching? How is, you know, the general manager not holding people accountable? How are players not holding themselves accountable? Because we're the only ones that don't think that this season is lost.
No, I think the majority of us do. And what's sad is I still, as cynical as I am, as pessimistic as I am, I'm still sitting here like, all right, we play New England twice. So 9-7, it really probably ain't going to get you in, but it gives you a shot. If you can get New England, we're not going to do any of
that. We're not doing any of
that. So why is that even in my pessimistic, negative head? Because I love this team.
You love this team.
And because I'm going to, it's sad. And I'm going to stand behind this team, and because I want to believe, I really do, they just make it so damn hard.
The headstone will read, husband, father, New York Jets fan.
Hey. I love it. I love it. That would be an honor for me. Let's tag Super Bowl champion ... on that as well if we could. I'll take one. Just one. Please. Please, God.
I see a lot of good things going forward, though. And we have two quarterbacks. We're just letting them sit.
Yeah, but what tells you that Todd Bowles, and this isn't me saying my opinion. It's just me having to be honest. What tells you Todd Bowles and Chan Gailey are the people to groom these quarterbacks? What tells you that this coaching staff has the ability to pamper a quarterback to the point of success?
Nothing. But this is where I go back to, also, of the two quarterbacks, which one would I take? Christian Hackenberg has already played in a system that he has gotten his ass
and has already handled serious turmoil.
Absolutely.
Albeit at the college level, but has already been through that.
Absolutely.
Has already been picked apart, chewed up, and spit out by the draft process.
And he's also been a part of a team that had to go through the similar growing pains of acquiring a new head coach, a new coordinator, things like that, and just getting those
That's
guys
the
to
scariest
fill themselves
part.
Out.
Scariest part to me is right now, this team goes 2-14, 3-13. You call for Bowles' head, whole staff gets fired.
Yeah.
You just wasted a year of development with Petty. You just wasted the entire rookie year that was so needed. And now you got all new voices, all new faces coming in telling Hackenberg, why are you pointing your toe there? I like it here. So now you wasted this year on him. And you're back in this boat with not knowing what you have.
Yeah, and that would be reasonable, because coming out of a 10-6 season to go 2-14, the first thing you do would be get rid of the entire staff normally. Unless this is the type of situation where Todd Bowles talked to them, talked to Maccagnan and said, listen, if you're going to do all this to bring back Fitzpatrick, I really want to have some sort of assurance that no matter what goes on, that we're going to have the same long-term plan that we had for this team when we first signed on to be a part of it.
How'd that work for Eric Mangini?
You were talking about a completely different organization, though. You cannot say Mike Maccagnan and Mike Tannenbaum are the same guy.
No. I'm talking about what you just brought up. I'm talking about the fact that Bowles and a plan and not letting it off course, that's exactly what happened. And there was a promise of time. And the man that some would argue should still be the head coach of this football team and got us the only real core and real talent we've had in decades got shown the door because a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame, older quarterback that you picked up to sell tickets and make a run tore his bicep, but they couldn't bench him because he had a phenomenal streak going on.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. This is a different organization now, man. This is
Hope
totally
right.
different.
It's
Listen,
the same ownership.
Earlier this season, we were talking about on the radio, look at these Jets taking care of their own. This is not what we're known for. We're doing things that we're not known for doing.
We've been
that's
saying it for 2 years. That's why I think it's a joke that anybody wants to bring up our general manager's name right now. Let a plan happen.
But you need somebody to be accountable, especially in this New York market. You got to have someone that's going to take the blame, that's going to take the fall, that's going to get fired.
You know
for
what
it.
The narrative is going to be, right?
What
because
is it?
Because of the timing, and I won't say that Woody Johnson was looking into any crystal ball because he came out and said that Todd Bowles is the real deal less than 48 hours ago. But you know what the narrative is going to be to keep Maccagnan and get rid of Bowles if they have to?
What's that?
He didn't pick Bowles. He was just okay with coming in with Bowles, and they knew or felt they knew that it would work. So now he'll get his chance to quote unquote hire his first head coach.
I don't think you do that after 2 years with the type
no,
of projects that we have going on.
I'm just letting you know that if we have to go that route, yeah, and it's not House, because it shouldn't be House if we have to go that route, Maccagnan, and mm-hmm, for what Maccagnan is doing up top and stacking talent on this roster, he should be kept if we, God forbid, have to go that route. Yeah. But that will be what you hear. The fact that he okayed Bowles and came in with right. Bowles, but he didn't pick Bowles. That wasn't his guy. So we have a little bit of a safety net to fall back on there, and it wouldn't be such a mess, though it would be.
Do you think Todd Bowles gets more time than Rex Ryan got?
No, because Todd Bowles wouldn't have brought us to back-to-back championship games to start off. Rex came out of the gate and went down for 7 on his opening drive, then turned the ball over, went down for another 7, and jumped up 14-0 in the first quarter of his career with us. The problem is he didn't finish, and we lost 27-24. You know what I mean by that? Like,
we had a much better team.
Rex, oh God, we talked about
we
that
pre-show.
We had
a much better
we
team.
Gonna go there. Let's talk about this team now.
I think this team, like, we've been talking about this team, not necessarily now, but also what it could be. And that's where my hope is. That's where I feel that, like, a lot of Jets fans are very negative and very upset, but I think we need to pump our brakes and take a look. The future looks very, very bright. And
yeah, you
I
got a bunch of two-year deals. You got a bunch of deals that we're not locked in at. We're in some kind of cap hell that people talk about that I just don't understand. And it truthfully makes my blood boil. But, I mean, just look at the options we have. You're not looking to get rid of a Mangold, but deep down, for some reason, I don't know what it is, I got a little bit of a DeBrickashaw Ferguson type of feel with Nick Mangold right now. It would be terrible to lose him a year after losing Brick to retirement.
It would be kind of fitting, though.
It would be. I mean, they came in together. It would have been the one extra year, but I understand what you mean by the fitting and going out separately on horses into the sunset here.
Right.
But I don't want it to happen. But it honestly would help us at $9 million, a hair over $9 million saved. You look at a Brandon Marshall, his partner in crime, Ryan Fitzpatrick, no mistake on that quote either of Geno has punched adversity in the face. Brandon Marshall is too much of a grown man to say that by mistake. So nice dig, nice little jab and showing you still got Fitz's back, but neither here nor there. $7.5 million you could save on him. A lot of people are saying we should be moving him coming up on this deadline, baseball style, and we should be moving on from him. But I don't see that happening.
Where to and what do you get?
Whether it's right or wrong. What?
Where do we move him to and what do you get?
If you were moving him, yeah. I mean, you don't think he would help the Seattle Seahawks immensely?
I think that maybe his drops have made it very hard for Maccagnan to try to negotiate for something worthy.
No, it's got to be the right. And right Brandon price. Marshall's not a head case anymore, as we've discussed on here, but it's got to be the right situation and the right coaching staff for him. As crazy as it sounds, because it's unrealistic, it wouldn't help them. Hugh Jackson and the Cleveland Browns, they can use him. Green Bay Packers could use him. I think he would have the type of personality you're fitting up there. Kind of that little humble, the way he is now,
and
bring a little flair up there. There's teams he can help. That's what I'm getting at.
After seeing Brandon Marshall now, I feel like he would help better off the field than on for a team, especially with his PR and what he's doing with his foundation, his organization. He's like the poster boy for mental rehabilitation, as well as just being out there.
He said himself, when the Jets are done with him, he's done with the league. I don't think the Jets are trading him midseason. I don't think it's realistic. But it's the one player in one of the few contract situations where it could really help somebody else. David Harris, $6.5 million to be made. I think we just shown, giving up our first 100-yard rusher on the year, the value Harris has to us. But we're just talking about options right now. Gilchrist ends the season the way he's playing right now. The 5.37 that we could save on him, no doubt is happening.
Who becomes your defensive quarterback then? Because he's the one that's
David Harris
plays
is still
right
your quarterback.
There.
If you're losing both of them,
yeah,
you hope a Darren Lee's ready. Maybe you go to one of these linemen. You pray to God a Calvin Pryor turned into the top five safety that our co-host here, Justin, thought he was going to be. But Bruno Giacomini, you're saving $4.5 million. I think everybody would agree he's probably not here next year. And Folk, I was trying to usher Folk out the door a little bit this year when we needed the money, but you can save $3 million on him. You're talking almost $40 million right there.
Yeah, but you got to replace
veteran. I know that. I know that. But if it's the team that you're talking and the building for 2018 that you're talking, these are the guys that you either flip for assets or you allow to walk to let your Robbie Andersons, to let your Darren Lees, and can we bring back a Tywan Jones? Your Tywan Jones to get some reps at the receiver position. You got Peak also. You got Smith. You got to get reps for. So if you're biting the bullet and building for 18, like you said, money to be made right there. We showed this year with no money. You make moves when you don't know how they make moves. And you sign a Jarvis Jenkins and sit on him for 3 weeks until he signs his deal and files it so you can move money around. Mac's good at what he does. Let's stick with the plan. Let's see what is going to come to fruition here for 2016. And let's let that build toward 2017. And while we're at it, let's pray to God we don't need another quarterback.
How do you feel about this team right now?
That's where I want to go before we wrap up here. We kind of been beating around the bush. How do we feel about Geno Smith under center and what this offense can do? I'm throwing it back at you. You're the guys that were intrigued about what he can bring, and we shouldn't have brought back Fitz. So you tell me what you're expecting right now.
No, I was definitely on board for not bringing back Fitzpatrick, but it's not because I was excited to see Geno Smith. I was just really, really, really trying to avoid having to waste all that time seeing what we know we have in Fitz. And then seeing what we know we have in Geno, and then to start
because your expectation was what we're having right now.
Absolutely.
Not 1-5, but I will announce to everybody that you called me and said, what if this team is 1-6? Because it can happen. Yeah. And I laughed at you and said, we're going to have much bigger problems than 2016 at that point. What am I seeing this Sunday from Geno Smith and the New York Jets offense? You got to figure we're going to get a little bit of a spark with just a live arm in there, right?
Who's out for this? Who's inactive for this game on offense?
Well, I would have to say I have no clue. But you're looking at Bryce Petty, which is your normal, Christian Hackenberg. I want to say Brandon Schell and Bowman and Austin Seferian Jenkins, both of the tight end position, missed practice today. So you don't even know their availability. You only have 7 inactive. I mean, really 8, but you're kind of allowed to carry 46. So, I mean, I just named you 5 on the offensive side of the ball. So I don't really know, but Fitz is the 2. Bowles has told you that.
Yeah, I got
Petty
that.
Petty just had his first full week of practice, which Jet fans refused to acknowledge that he was hurt. So he's not an option yet. He's going to be inactive again, as is Hack. It's going to be Geno. He goes down. You're seeing Fitz come right back in there. But I expect a little bit of a spark. Does this team win this game and start to maybe get people to say, well, let's see what could be?
Let's say that they come out the gate throwing deep because Geno can.
Because he can. Robbie Anderson has an opportunity to catch one of these balls that he's been wide open
on. First play of the game. First
weeks.
Play of the game. We start
no, that's
from a
obvious.
Touchback.
That's obvious.
I don't care.
You can't do that.
I don't care. That's
no, do that
too,
with
though.
Running the ball. Don't obviously throw deep because that safety is going to be sitting cloud over the top.
No, I think that you do.
All right,
I think, okay,
so.
Okay. Give him the option to read the defense.
Run
and see
pass.
What he comes
okay,
up with.
I'll give you that.
Give
but you
that.
Want Geno getting run pass options in his first start in basically 2.5 years?
Yup.
You're nuts.
Nope.
You're nuts. The man can't handle reading the defense for one play. You want him to read the defense for two?
I want to see. Listen, I don't want to beat around the bush. Is he going to be our starter next week or not? That's what I want to see.
Are
put
you
him
talking
to
next
the
year?
Test.
You meant to say next year there?
Next
you said
week.
Next week.
Next week.
Oh, you? What are you talking? After Baltimore?
I'm talking about Cleveland.
Yes, he's going to be the starter.
I want to see.
He's probably
he
going to be the starter for Miami and LA, too.
If he throws 6 interceptions, is he going to be the starter next week?
Yes.
Wow.
Bryce Petty's not healthy. I just told you that. He is.
Bryce
I'm sorry.
Petty's going through his second
Bryce
full
Petty
week
would go
practice.
Into his second week right now. He's going to need at least another 2. So look at Baltimore, Cleveland. Now you're getting into Miami. Now maybe Petty's become an option for
you're
you.
You're going to bring him back for what?
You
New
play
England?
Miami, who I mean, Geno plays well again, so you'll probably get a win there. That'll buy you LA for the Geno camp, too. If you're going to Petty, you go to Petty. right after November 13th when you play the Los Angeles Rams. And even though we have a great run defense, Gurley will probably go off for two Bills.
I thought we have the bye week after the Rams.
That's why you go to Petty then. Now you give Petty the bye week and your 2 weeks of all the number one reps or two-thirds, three-quarters of the number one reps, and it's your squad. Now you're looking at Petty coming for his first start in the NFL at home at 8:30.
Yeah.
NBC.
Yeah.
Whole world watching against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Tough situation to put a young kid in. Come on. Are you setting him up for failure? Or are you putting his feet to the fire and say, go ahead and do it?
And it's okay to do that with him, but not with Geno Smith on the first play of the game. Give him a run pass option. And I'm not really talking about challenging him. I just want to see if he is going to throw.
Dude, he's going to throw. He's shown it. And that's why where you let off with it was a home run.
I get that, but
we got a guy who can hit these receivers now.
But does he? Does he not? Is
that's
he as
question.
Good as
no.
he can
get? No. I saw a highlight. I believe it was Connor Rogers' Twitter, I'll say a
the
day
Oakland
or two
game?
Ago. No, he's rolling out this week. This week where he wound up tucking it down, maybe third or fourth snap, and he slid for three. Brandon Marshall's running up the seam. Nobody covering him. He's still got a good two and a half yards until he's at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Then you got another half a yard of your body going through.
Maybe
never
he was just
up,
a little too antsy.
Never
to make
looked
good
absolutely, but good he plays his career like that.
Exactly. So put him to the fire immediately.
Listen,
and I don't want, if he's not good enough to be the starter the following week, then I don't want him to be. And I don't care how many weeks of practice.
And you're going back to Fitz then.
No, you can put Petty against
no,
the Browns.
No, bro, stop.
Against the Cleveland
stop.
Browns.
You can't say I don't care how many weeks of practice because it's that ignorance with the quarterback position that is part of the reason we're in the position we're in. But it's our coaches that have been doing things like that. You can't throw these young quarterbacks out there not ready. You lose their confidence. They're shot. We've done it. Time and time again. You give Petty another 3 weeks of practice. He needs every moment he can get before his moment comes. Let's do right by him. Because if you're going to get anything out of him, I want to see it best case scenario. And no matter how many weeks of practice I'm turning to, it's not best case scenario, both for Bryce Petty and for Bryce Petty's future with the New York Jets.
I get that, but I really feel like this is what I was talking about, wasting that time by bringing back Fitzpatrick over in the offseason.
Listen, I almost feel like these last 2-3 weeks have been a waste of time, and I ain't talking about the product we're putting out there. I hope you're all still enjoying it and you're knowing why the temperament has changed. I'm talking about what we're watching. What are we going to see Sunday? Give me something on the game. I don't even care if you give me a score.
Give me
something.
If they open it up right, if they strategically
go
against
him for a win.
Might
not be playing Flacco. This could be the quarterback showdown of the century between Ryan Mallett and Geno Smith protecting his home turf. So know that now. He's been missing practice with a thrown shoulder injury from the Ravens. You ain't playing against the Jets. We got this kid. Take the week off.
Yeah.
But go ahead. What do we see this Sunday?
I want to see Geno throw the ball deep so that we can open up the running game. I want to see a little bit more from Matt Forte and Bilal Powell, which I think will be hard because I believe that they believe that this season is over. And
but I'm almost willing to buy that with Forte.
Absolutely. And I think in this, I don't know, it just goes to the experience, I guess. Like I said before, maybe it's not an awful thing, bro. It's not, they're not bad guys because they don't believe that there's a future for this season. They're just smarter guys.
Give me a score, Nostradamus.
I don't have a score for you, but I can't see either team scoring more than 19 points if Joe Flacco's not out there. So
okay, so
go
the score
is
17-13. Who won the game?
I'll say 19-16
Ravens. You almost
Ravens.
Said it. Come on, you almost said it. You're sitting in his chair. You're wearing his headphones talking into his mic. He almost got you. He ain't even here. Justin, he almost did it for you, baby. I'm actually going to give us a win this week. I think we get a little bit of a spark. I think we just play a little nasty. And I said it before the season. I don't look at the Ravens anymore like the type of team that bullies you and comes into your house and wins. And I know we're not the Jets that I said we were in the preseason, but we're going to run into a couple W's here. And I think this is one. I think we make just enough plays to win. And I am going to say 17-13, 21-17, whatever you want to call
with
it.
Within one touchdown.
Yeah, good enough for me. One score win. I'm going to go back to the Jets this week, and it's not blind faith. It's just I honestly could see that. It's not no homer. That's where I'm going with it. We get to 2-5 for me. For you, we drop to 1-6, and we're in serious, serious turmoil as an organization.
And I really don't believe that either. I really do still have hope. That's the thing. Like, I know that I'm calling this team to lose, and I'm calling them to lose a lot more.
But
I have so much. I have so much faith. I do, man. And maybe that's where my blind faith is in the long play.
Maybe.
But I appreciate everything that that McKagan's been doing. I appreciate Woody Johnson just kind of handing him the reins and saying, you know, do what you got to do. And I appreciate a lot of the things that Todd Bowles did last year and that I was hoping to see some improvement from. And I just have to believe, too, that he's just also experimenting because he also knows that we're building for the future, not for right now.
Well, I appreciate everybody for tuning in once again this week, for downloading, for listening. You can find us on Apple iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, and basically anywhere else podcasts can be downloaded.
Hey, Jet fans, follow us on Twitter at NYJCouchGout. Send us a question or comment and look out for future prizes and giveaways.
Guys, we do got some good stuff going on. It's just we haven't had the upbeat type of week to bring you anything, to run any promotion.
I'm not in the mood to give anything
away. That's what I'm saying.
Like, this is awful.
I hear you. I just want to put that out there. I feel like we're kind of blowing smoke, but we're not. We just haven't had the ebbs and flows that we could have capitalized on thus far.
I still have faith, though, man. I know I feel bad about it. I know I get on Twitter and I'm mad about everything when we come in, when they're playing, but I still have faith. So
yeah, well, I want
keep a lookout
faith,
for everything that we're going to be doing here at the NYJ Couch Scouts. Also, check out some other of our other Couch Scouts productions going on. We're going to be bringing you a fantasy update as well, so stay tuned for that. And I don't know, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I'd like to thank my producer, Giovanni Garcia,
as usual.
And our co-founder, as always, David Schwendeman. And again, a big thank you to Jet fans out there. I don't know how you're tuning in and downloading still, but we appreciate it, guys and girls.
We really do, guys.
We really do. You keep doing it. As I always say, we'll keep bringing it to you. Until next week, let's get one. God damn it, let's get one.
Catch us next week, Jet fans.
I'm out.
Hey everybody, Jake Boswell here with your fantasy football fair weather focus. We're going to start this week, as we almost always do, with the running backs. They're important, right? Of course, they go down just about as quickly as any other position on the field, and there's always backups you've never heard of taking their spot and possibly winning you a fantasy championship. This week, however, the running backs are pretty obvious. Jay Ajayi of the Miami Dolphins has been kind of muddled this year with a team that's kind of struggled, but against the Steelers, he had a breakout game, over 200 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. It looks like he's going to be the starter on a team that could see some momentum. He's someone that at least needs to be owned. If he's out there, pick him up. Also, another obvious choice, James White of the New England Patriots. Someone this week breaking out, having 2 touchdowns, both receiving. He's somebody who looks to be a huge factor in the New England Patriots offense for the rest of the year. Targeted 9 times last week, and with Deion Lewis out, still hurt for quite a while, it looks like he could be a big factor on third downs and somebody Tom Brady looks to have a lot of chemistry with. Now, moving on to this week's sleepers, I'm starting with Cole Beasley. He's had 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. Him and Dak Prescott really showing a lot of chemistry. And as the talk continues with the 5-1 Cowboys, it looks like Dak Prescott is likely to remain the quarterback, even if Romo stays. Now, Beasley's not getting a lot of yards, but with him finding the end zone so much weekly, I like him to stay hot this upcoming week and somebody you should have in your lineup. And then, of course, somebody close to home, Marcus Mariota, really off to a tough sophomore year to begin this year, but the last few games he's had at least 3 touchdowns, averaging nearly 30 fantasy points over the last 2 weeks. And this week, a huge game for the 3-3 Titans, playing at home against the Colts defense that has had a pretty tough year so far. Look for Mariota to be comfortable at home, comfortable in the pocket, throwing out of the backfield to DeMarco Murray, and somebody who should have yet another big week as he looks to not only get a lot of yards in the air, but running pretty well on the ground as well. Those are my opinions this week. They change just about every week. We'll see how things go. That is your fantasy football fair weather focus for this week.
Couch Scouts Podcast, audio of the free.